Quickly to Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 1. Amen. Exodus chapter number 14 and verse number uno. Okay, that's it. No more Spanish. Amen. Except if we eat some tacos and Doritos. Tortillas. Yeah, that's what it is. Tortillas. Yeah. Amen. If you can't tell, I'm feeling good. All right. Preach. Amen. Exodus 14, verse number 1. And the word said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Thihirot, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. And then verse number 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them up. They're entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them up. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Let me just read for you a few definitions of some of these big words here. Thihirot means the mouth of the gorge where sedge grows. Sedge was a type of flower that grows. But it was the mouth of gorges, I should say, gorges, plural. Migdal was a tower, a fortified city, of which was in the hands of the Egyptians there on the border of Egypt. And Baal Zephon is in the sense of, this is the meaning of cold. It was cold. According to others of the Egyptians, they called it their type of what we would call is a typhoon or a cold winter storm that would destroy much. It was also said because of Baal being Zephon, Baal Zephon. Baal was meaning the Lord of winter. So we were under the impression, under the understanding that here they are at a place that Israel is at the mouth of gorges. If you've ever been in a gorge, it's high walled areas. It's a place that you can get entrapped. It's a place that could be difficult to get out of. And then on the other side was a fortified enemy city called Migdal. And the only bright spot about this was the flowers that would bloom in the spring. Other than that, all three of these places were very disturbing. You've got a gorge, you've got a tower that's full of enemy, and you've got winter that's coming on that is a destroyer. And you've got 3 million people that are in that exact spot, and the Red Sea is in front of them. And then the Lord tells the people, tells Moses, that Pharaoh will say, Pharaoh's fixing to say, ha ha, I got you where I want you. I'm going to take you out. He's going to say they're entangled in the wilderness, and the wilderness hath shut them in. Oh, hallelujah. And thus the idea that is given here is you're done. You're done. It's over. You don't have any hope. You don't have a chance to make it out. Then if we skip down in our opening setting to verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, here he comes, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. I believe that I can add here that they cried out unto the Lord, help! Save us! We're in a bind here.
Yeah.
We're in trouble here. Look at the things around us. We have run out of options, so to speak. Now, I'm going to do something that is a little bit different than I've done ever before. And I am going to put a picture up here. Can you blow that thing up? And it's not centered on that screen. Fix it. Anyways, as he does that, this is a very familiar portrait painting that is on here. We need to blow that thing up real big. Huh? It's on Safari? I don't know. I was in photo.
There you go.
Yeah, do it there. Yeah, pick that one. Blow it up big. Hey! Alright, everybody seen that? Okay? Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's fine. That'd be perfect. That'd be perfect. Anybody ever seen this picture before? Nobody seen this picture before? Oh, man, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. This is a picture entitled Checkmate. How many of you know how to play chess? There's several of you. How many of you can beat me? Ah, yeah, a couple smart alecks. They think that they're the master. They think they're the masters, and they know how to play real good. Well, the fact of the matter is they probably can't beat me. Because I will not even dare say that I'm even close to being a master at this game called chess. The author of this painting, his name is very hard to pronounce, German man, Friedrich Reisich, something like that. All right, let me just leave it like that. The name of the painting is Checkmate. It hung in Paris's Louvre Art Museum between 1898 and 1899 before it went on world tour in the 1900s. So quickly, let me relay this fascinating story to you. This picture shown when it was on world tour had stopped in Cincinnati. The artist, who was a chess player himself, had painted a picture in this game we know as chess. The players were of a young man on your right, right, the young man on the right, and the devil is portrayed on the left. Now you'll see that center focal point of what would be depicted as an angel, very passive, standing there in the background as an angelic presence there, as a spiritual presence. The young man, as he begins to manipulate all of the white pieces, Satan has chosen all of the black pieces. The issue of the game was, should the young man win, he was to be forever free from the power of evil. And should the devil win, the young man was to be a slave for the devil forever. The artist evidently believed in the supreme power of evil. For in this picture, he presents the devil as the victor. Here, the devil had just moved his queen and announced a checkmate in four different moves. The young man, showing utter despair, hands upon his head in deep contemplation, faces his face, pales with amazement and anxiety. He sees and he lives, no more moves. There is no hope for him to win. The picture here depicted by this artist basically shows that the devil is going to win no matter what the young man does. One day, Paul Morphy, a resident of New Orleans, came and began to look at this picture on display. He was at that time a master chess player. He was an undefeated champion. An undefeated champion of the world. And as he stood before the picture, he contemplated the moves for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. As others would pass by and look and say, yep, sure enough, it's checkmate. That boy don't have any place to go. And they would move on. And he sat there for 30 minutes. Then even longer still, he went a little bit longer as he continued to go back and forth with all of the moves. He made moves and eliminated moves. Suddenly, as his hand was paused in midair, his eyes burned intently with a vision of unthought of moves. He began shouting at the top of his voice, young man, make that move. Young man, make that move. And then it is also said that he makes the statement that the king has one more move. To the amazement of all, the old supreme master chess player discovered a combination that the creating artist did not consider. And just as I asked some of us who could beat one or the other, that has yet to be told as to whether you can or can't. But the artist in his mind was painting a picture that the devil wins, that there's no way out. But a master came by one day. A master chess player came by one day. And he said, oh no, there's one more move. The king has one more move. Israel was at that place of checkmate. The gorges all around them. The fortified city with the enemy on their trail. The Red Sea in front of them. They were at a place of checkmate. Amen. But Almighty God, he had one more move. The master of the universe, oh, hallelujah, had one more move. They said, Moses, go ahead and take out thy rod. And God brought about the supernatural, and he parted the Red Sea. What about a man by the name of Daniel who was doomed to die by a decree of an earthly king? It was thrown in the den of lions. Oh, hallelujah. It seemed impossible for him to be alive. But the king of the universe, he said, oh no, not today, Daniel. You're not dying today. I've got one more move. I'm going to send me an angel in there and shut the mouths of those lions. Even though the enemy may say it's over for you, Daniel, I'm king. I'm the master. And you're not going anywhere. Not today. Hallelujah. What about those three young men, those three Hebrew boys that were facing again at the death of an earthly king? But the master of the universe, he steps into a fiery furnace. Oh, hallelujah. And he said, you're not getting burned up today. I've got one more. Some of y'all ain't getting this. I got one more. loaves or two fishes and a couple loaves. There weren't any other options. Anybody got anything else to feed these 5,000? Do what? Feed 5,000? Oh yeah, give me those fish, give me those loaves, put it in the master's hands. It may look impossible, it may look like there's no way, it may look to you like it's checkmate, but just put it in the master's hand. Let the master say, move here. Let the master say, young man, there's still one more.
Yeah.
Move. Young man, you don't have to give up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What about that woman that was destined to die because she was caught in the very act of adultery? The crowd pressing in around her, rocks already in their hands, the decree already made. She needs to be stoned. Trying to catch Jesus, they thought they had him nailed down for sure. They even thought, they even thought that they had the master cornered. They thought they had the master cornered, but he began to stoop down in the ground and write with his finger. I don't know what he wrote, but one by one, from the eldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones and walked away. And he turned to that woman and he said, "Where are thine accusers?" And she said, "I have none, Lord." There ain't nothing like being in a place of the checkmate. And the master said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. I got it under control. I got everything taken care of." Woman that had an issue of blood. 12 years. Spent all of her living on every doctor that she could have. Every place that she could have put her money, she put it on this new medicine and this new technology, and here and there. And the Bible said that after she had done everything that she could, she was in checkmate.
Yeah.
And she said, "But if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole."
Yeah.
The Bible even said that after she had spent all that she had, she grew worse.
Yeah.
It was getting worse. Oh, but the master, she reached out and she touched the hem of his garment, and immediately, she was made whole.
Yeah.
That woman was made whole from that very hour. He said, "I felt virtue leave my body. She was scared to death, but she knew what had happened that day. I had a contact with the master. Move here. Do this. The king has arrived. Hey man, the king is on the scene. And you may not feel like you've got anywhere to turn. You may not feel like you've got any more answers. Though you have tried, and you seem to come up short every single time. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, the king has one more move. That the man, Christ Jesus, was nailed to a cross. Blood pouring out of his body. His flesh shredded to pieces. And in his body he cries out, "It is finished." say in the flesh, but in the spirit.
Come on.
In the spirit, he was saying, that part of this is finished. But it ain't over. I got another move. I'm rising again. He said, I got one more. Oh, what everybody was weeping and crying. Oh, our master's gone. Everything, there's no more hope. What are we going to do? He may have said, it's finished in the flesh. But I got one. That was for them in the Bible day. Let me tell you, honey, it ain't for them in the Bible day. It's for you, because the Bible said, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, hallelujah. So he reached from that day all the way down through time to reach to you and I, to give us some hope that when we feel we don't have any other options, when we feel we don't we can still go to him, and we can find our help in the King of Glory. We can find our help in the Master of the Universe. As it goes on, the scripture talks about there were folks from every nation under heaven there that day. They heard and they had seen what was going on. They began to ask questions. While some were very sincere, others were found mocking, saying that these are drunk. But Peter, standing up, amen, began to preach to them and say, these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. They can't get drunk at that early hour of the morning. But this is what was prophesied. This is what was spoken aforetime. What you're experiencing, what you're feeling in this house, even this morning, is the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost that they felt that day, that they heard that day, that they had seen that day.
Right. Amen.
Some of you are sitting there going, I know there's something different about this church, and now I know. You got one crazy preacher. That's more than a crazy preacher. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a Holy Ghost filled preacher. That's exciting. Prophesy. He said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So again, another proof that it wasn't just for them of that day. All flesh was perpetually happening, continually going on through the ages of time. And he continued to preach, telling them that they had now crucified the Messiah, the King. Oh no, verse 36. And he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Jesus.
Verse 37. And when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? As perplexed as this young man is, it's over. I'm going to be a slave the rest of my life. I can't get free of this drug addiction. I can't get free of this, and I failed, and I've done this, and I've tried that, and everything seems to fall apart. Could you imagine the way they felt that day when they realized all that they had ever hoped for was a Messiah to come one day and save them? And it dawns on them, we have crucified. We've killed him. What are we going to do? It's checkmate. I don't have any other moves. I don't have any other options. What am I going to do? They looked to Peter, and Peter, the symbol for the master that had been given the keys. Said, here, I'm going to unlock a door for you. And he said unto them, repent. Okay? Tell God you're sorry.
Yeah.
Okay? Just repent. Let me tell somebody here today, repentance ain't that hard. It's easy. Don't make it a big ordeal.
Right.
Repentance. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Please, you said in your word that if I asked you to forgive me, you'd forgive me. And I'm asking you with all sincerity. God, I've made a lot of messed up moves. I've made a lot of mistakes.